For tonight, we're continuing in spiritual gifts now on the positive side, not the sign gifts, but the spiritual gifts. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4, and the verses should be 11 and 12, if I'm not mistaken. They may be 10 and 11 on here. Let's have a look. First Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. One thing on a basic Bible doctrine is you get to cover things in detail that you normally don't cover in a message. That's the purpose of these studies on Wednesday night. There's some things. You go a little deeper, look at the verses, the cross-references, so that we can go a little deeper. And we're going to be on this a couple weeks because there's a lot of areas that we need to cover. Verses 10 and 11, it says, "As every man hath received the gift." So how many does it say? Every man, every believer, every child of God hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we thank the Lord for these scriptures. We'll break this down a little bit tonight. But by way of introduction, the church can be easily hindered by a wrong view that makes a strong distinction between pastors and members. This view fails to see the truth that every believer is to be a ministering or a serving member who is to be ministering for the common good of the body of Christ according to the gifts that God hath given him. Too many church members are comfortable with the concept of paying others to do the work of the ministry for them. But the New Testament teaches us that church leaders are to be like coaches who should be training others for the work of the ministry according to the spiritual gifts of each member. The scriptures teach that every Christian, as a member of the body of Christ, is a believer priest whom God has gifted for the purpose of ministry. We need to discover our gift and exercise our gifts for the ministry, for ministry to the church and in the world. Only then will we become good stewards. That's what Peter's talking about here. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God, meaning that gift, that grace gift that he's given us, we are to be good stewards of that gift. And we do that as we recognize and we use our gifts in the church and using it in the way that God has entrusted us. And so I look tonight, we're going to break down this passage and maybe get into Ephesians 4, but probably not. So number one, we're just going to look at spiritual gifts in general. The definition, letter A, the definition.
Here's what I found.
The word gift is the Greek word charisma. Now, do you know anything about charismatic movement? And that's where they get their, the charismatic movement. We talk about the charismatic movement, probably not in a positive way, but what we're talking about is those who are abusing the gifts and abusing the sign gifts that we already learned about that have ceased. What's interesting, when we get over to Ephesians 4:11, we're going to be dealing with something very important that maybe you have or you don't have very clear in your mind is, are there apostles and prophets today? We're going to find out what the Bible says very clearly about that, because you're going to look on signs, you know, apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so. Africa, as I served as a missionary there, is plagued with a bunch of prophets. That's all they are, you know, prophets here and there. And so we can find out what God's word says about those two offices that were real. And we'll find out if they exist today. So, charisma. And this means a gift of grace or a free gift. So it's talking about the grace of God here. It's talking about the freeness of the gift. And we know that spiritual gifts are special spiritual abilities given by the Holy Spirit to enable Christians or members of the body of Christ to serve one another. That's what Peter's saying here. He says in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. One to another. So we're to be serving one another, amen, in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, go over there and look at, and keep your finger here, but we'll kind of look at the fact of what God does for us. And God knows us better than we know ourselves, amen? I think we'll just jump right down to verse 11. For sake of time, it says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the same selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. He will. God is the one who chooses our gifts. Isn't that amazing? So God knows us. God knows what's best. And God distributes those gifts out to us. And these are abilities, endowments of power, which enable us to carry out vital function as members in the body, in the church. And believe it or not, they're supernatural enablement. Amen? So we definitely need something supernatural in our lives. Amen? Because if it's just going to be on us, it's not going to be enough. And we know that. And we've already been there, haven't we? When we've depended on our own strength and on ourselves, and we fall flat on our spiritual faces, spiritually flat on our face. Not literally, brother. Don't get any ideas. So we have the definition, letter A. Letter B, the distribution. We're going to get you a paper, Marvin, so you can at least have a look and take it home. Talking about spiritual gifts. Letter B, the distribution. Welcome tonight. All believers have at least one spiritual gift. Regardless of what you think or how you feel, you may even feel, you know, like I'm undeserving or, you know, why me? But God has given you a gift. Romans 12, that's another chapter. Now, there are some very important chapters, and I realize that we have taken some time, I think, in a message, when we talk about dedicating, renewing our commitments, we did talk about this, but we didn't go into detail like we're going to be doing. So it may be a little overlap, and you may think, well, we already talked about this. No, unless you want to get up now and tell me everything you learned, and if you learned everything well and remember everything, then I'll close this chapter. I don't think we want that, amen. Gary probably has it all written down over there. Do you? Couldn't find it. He may have it, but Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Amen. Having then gifts, and he's talking about, let's go to verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. That's an amazing verse. But then it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Then it goes on in the list. We will come back to this at some point. Now remember the body analogy that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 12. And every believer is needed in the body. And you can't say, you know, the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. The eye to the ear. And Paul uses that analogy so well in 1 Corinthians 12. And so every one of us has a place of service, has a ministry, has a function, has a gift to perform in the Lord's church. And that's wonderful. Amen. Letter B is the distribution, by the way. Did I say that? Maybe I didn't. Letter A, the definition. Letter B, the distribution. And it kind of goes along with what we set up in 1 Corinthians 12, 11. The Spirit sovereignly chooses our gift for us, or gifts. Not saying that you may have more than one. So we see the definition. We see the distribution. Letter C, we see the demonstration. The demonstration. What are gifts for? I think I told you about in Africa, they have bumper stickers, right? And so they have the prophet or the preacher or the famous apostle on the bumper sticker on their car, and that is to protect them and to bring blessing if they have that on there. But these guys, you know, that's how they promote themselves, okay? They're promoting themselves. And that's not what a gift is for. The gift isn't for us to have some, you know, like here in our city, and the famous one with the beautiful teeth and the big white pearly smile and all that. It's not for him to be the famous one. You know, that's not what gifts are for. So the Bible's very clear here, going back to 1 Peter. We are to be ministers. And that talks, the word minister is talking about servants or serving. So we are to minister the same one to another. When we get a gift, we are to be serving others with our gifts in the church. This is for the common good of the body of Christ. And we know 1 Corinthians, remember, 12, 13, 14. And right in the middle of all this controversy is the chapter on love, charity, and what God's love is about. Amen. And so it's talking about this gift. When we minister it in the church, that is an expression of love. That's how we express our love, through using our gift for the glory of God. And it's not for personal gain or selfish agendas. Once we start doing that, then we lose the blessing. And obviously, it's not for love's sake, if it's for any selfish motive. The Apostle Paul defines the common good by such things as edification. Amen. When you edify, you're building someone else up. It's for exhortation. You are encouraging, you're consoling, you're instructing, you're helping people mature in Christ and become more like Jesus. That's what these gifts are for. It's for the building up of the body of Christ and building up of the members, one of another. So we have the definition A, the distribution B, the demonstration. Now there is a distinction, letter D, the distinction. Peter makes a distinction here. I want you to see this. He says in verse number 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister. So when we think of distribution or distinction, we're talking about there are gifts, and we'll see this when we break them down, of speaking and gifts of serving. So there's a basic distinction here, speaking and serving. And we'll learn that more as we develop our message. Page 2, if you are on the same page as me. What does Peter say here if we speak? It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak the word of God. Amen? I realize that we really need to be careful to always speak God's word. Meaning, whatever we're doing, we're witnessing out here, we speak God's word. We get the word of God in. We're talking, we're counseling. We speak the word of God one to another. We're not, you know, there's many things we can learn. We can learn psychology, psychiatry, and some of those things may be helpful in understanding situations. But the real answer is the word of God. Amen. And we need to be careful not to speak our own viewpoint. Man's tendency, of course, is to share his own ideas in accordance with his own personal agenda, even when claiming to be teaching the Bible. This is very subtle, but very common. And I think every pastor needs to be very careful, you know, when they get into the pulpit, what's in their heart? You know, what's the motivation here? What is this about? Make sure that I don't have a personal agenda here, that I am truly seeking God's truth and expounding God's truth. Yes, we have to apply it, and that gets a little personal sometimes. And it should. And should you feel uncomfortable in church, amen. If you always feel comfortable in church, there's something wrong. So, you know, when we talked about cults and things like that, we'll get into that in the book of Colossians. Obviously, they're going to use the Bible to lend authority what they're really saying. And they're going to be experts at truly, you know, weaving in a little bit of truth. And everyone's like, oh, well, they teach the Bible. And that's enough for some people. Just because they say a few scriptures, well, then it must be from God. We have to be careful that it's not just adding God's word to what I want to say. Let him speak the oracles, the word of God. And the other thing is, the Bible can also be used very poorly through misuse, through poor interpretation. And that's the other thing is, we really need to know what was Peter saying here, truly. Not just what I want him to say, but first let's find out what he's saying by the context, by the grammar, the contextual meaning of words. Remember, there's some historical context of the Greek and the Hebrew and in the time of Christ. All of that is important when you're interpreting the Word of God, and we need to be very careful. That's why, you know, take sermons. I don't know if I said this up in Temple, Texas, when I was up at the revival, that I do listen to some podcasts about preaching and different things. I think I've already mentioned a few things to you about, well, one I was listening to, that one guy says, of course, when they do preach one message a week, then they can do this. And they talked about, you know, having their graphics team and their media team and their advertising team and their messaging team and, you know, all these teams to help them too. Anywhere from 12 to 20 hours on one message. Now, I preach four times a week. So I would be 80 hours roughly just in study if I follow that. Now, I study, and my wife knows how many hours it takes me roughly, and it is a lot of hours. Don't get me wrong, it's a lot of hours. But I wish I had 80 hours to study, you know, on four messages. And, but then I said, maybe I did say that here. Did I say that here? Of course, when you're preaching, you're like, did I preach that here? Did I preach that there? And it's good to keep notes, dates and place. Amen. When you preach something. What I'm getting at is, and I lost my train of thought. Thank you. I'll get back to that if I come back with it. Anyway, knowing this with all that very important. Here's the thought. Obviously, I was called to preach in 1983. You add up the years, and I've been preaching ever since. I think that's going to be 40 years next year. So you do draw on everything that you've studied and preached. I wish I could remember it all. Don't think I. Obviously, I have my. That's why my wife doesn't like all my boxes, because I got sermon outlines and notes from probably the beginning of when I started preaching. And there are treasures. She said, no, they're not. Throw these things out. I said, one day I'm going to put them in the computer. You know, these are handwritten notes. No, you won't. By the time I get to them, I'll probably pull them out and you won't be able to read them. All the graphite is faded. You know, it's like, or the moths and all that. Mildew from Chile ate the paper up. I have some of those around too. James clearly warns us because of this, brethren. You're right here in 1 Peter. Go to James. And it's very clear about 4:1. And when you say masters here, he's talking about teachers. And it's not 4:1, it's 3:1. Sorry. My brethren, be not many masters, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And just the truth is, there's a greater judgment on those who open the scriptures, and we have to be very aware of that. And that's why we need to be dedicated students who handle the Word of God carefully, so that our teaching is truly based on God's truth and not our own ideas. 2 Timothy 2:15. And we know that we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged one day, you know, for how we handle God's word, and we need to be careful. And I'm not trying to steer away any of our men from saying, all right, I'm not doing a devotion anymore on Wednesday nights, or I'm not, don't call me. That's not the idea, brethren. It's just understand our goal, and I'm talking mainly to pastors, amen, and preachers on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right there, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. And that has to do with that interpretation and that understanding that you are preaching the truth of God's word, not your own truth. Amen. Now, Peter also teaches, going back to Peter, we'll kind of wrap it up here because of time and perspiration. Amen. 1 Peter also is telling us that we must do it by the strength which God supplies. Amen? He says, let him do it as the ability, verse 11, which God giveth. And that's the amazing thing, brethren. There's times when I feel inadequate and I don't feel like I really studied all that I needed to or that I have everything. And then I get up and preach and God blesses. It's like, that wasn't me, that was God. I wish it was like that every time I got in the pulpit, but I want it to be that way. So we need to be trusting in God's strength. And we know that when we are weak, He is strong. Amen. He is strong. And I thank the Lord for that. And Paul, you remember, there's so many verses that Paul says. He said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. Like, it wasn't that he, you know, was using all his education. He was a very highly educated man. He was plain speaking, you know, common, you know, everyday illustrations and preaching to the hearts of the people. And that's in, and that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the way. So I think we better continue that way, amen. And obviously, John 15 is that wonderful illustration of how we depend on Jesus for everything. And without Him, we can do nothing. Amen. It's our fellowship as our source. Now, at the end of 1 Peter 4:11, let us be reminded why we do all this. Why do we speak the oracles of God? Why do we serve others? And here's the whole reason. I think it will always be the only reason that's right. It says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, brethren, that's the whole purpose, is God's glory and the dominion, the praise and dominion of Christ, the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. So I think this kind of puts it in our gift. Why do we use our gift? How do we use our gift? It's telling us this should be the principle that guides us in all things. That it would be our stewardship of God's grace, knowing this came from God. He's given this to me. And that we're to do it for His glory. And that's why we're here on earth. Sadly, because of our self-centered and our sinful nature, our selfish agendas, sometimes we do things to be accepted by others, to be praised by others, maybe to gain position or prestige. Let us not be guilty of that, amen. Let's serve and speak for the glory of God, amen. Let's pray. Father.